Welcome to a new episode of the Fleekazoid podcast. Before we start, a quick message from the sponsors.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So I know it's been a while since I made a last podcast episode, and I think for me, I had to take a step back. But I've been writing scripts, and I've been taking notes, and there's a lot of things that I've been sitting on, and that's usually how these podcasts come about. Let me just say, I got a new apartment, but I'm still figuring out the audio in here because it's very echoey, and I did my best today, but if it ever sounds wonky at any point, that's why. And yeah, just to let you guys know what we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about the feeling of hatred, because look, we are not these happy, lovey-dovey, 24/7, no problem people. And I don't know about you guys, but like, I feel like I really had to learn to manage my hate this year. I feel like I came into situations and scenarios that consumed me, that didn't need to consume me. And there was no content for it. Today's going to be a topic on why it's harmful, how we feel it, and how to create boundaries for specific situations and scenarios where you might find yourself in a position to ruminate on the feeling of hatred and how hate is too heavy to live with. If there's one thing I can do with today's podcast, it is to lift the weight of anger off your shoulders. And I know that this may be a grand topic coming from me, considering that so many of my previous episodes were built on the ashes of grinding my axe towards a Scorpio and men and dating. I'm very guilty when it comes to harboring hate, if not generating it within other people. If it weren't for the fact that hate is so inadvertently binding, because when you hate something, it lives within you. It's also the fact that you radiate hate. It's so obvious when a person is living from a place of anger. It's like we don't even have to know what they're angry about. We can just look at someone's Instagram and we can see in their photos or even by the way that they take care of themselves that they spend so much energy on anger. And anger is a strange emotion because it can be anxiety. Like sometimes you have so much anxiety that you're literally processing it as rage. There can be anger because you were in a bad situation and maybe you just want retribution or you want to get like your redemption from that bad situation. Hate can just even just be you not liking someone, just petty little things that people do that make you feel like maybe they're not living up to the standards that you want them to or they're not fulfilling their potential. Like something makes you hate someone, maybe because you want to control them or you want to control the situation. Who knows? And the point of today's topic is not to dismiss the fact that you may have these feelings or to completely deny that they even exist at all. And that you shouldn't have them, period. It's that any negativity should go through you. It shouldn't be something that lives inside of you. And that's why hate is heavy. Because when you hate a person, they're binded to you. They're in your heart. They're in your mind. It's almost like you love them because you think about them when you hear songs and when you go on walks or maybe even when you're stuck in traffic. Hostile thoughts about people, places, or things that you hate can be so genuine, but they're heavy to live with. And when the hatred is so deep within you that it is daily, it becomes a part of your story. And it can be easy to turn that into a part of your character and to let that hatred define you. I have an entire podcast episode on why you should stop identifying with the anger and pain of an unfortunate moment. I made it in 2022, so go check it out if you're interested. I think what happens with people is that they don't even want to acknowledge the fact that they have a hateful side. Even people who are openly shit talkers, they don't want to admit to themselves that they have the capacity to not only dislike something, but to ruminate on it, to never let that thought escape them. People want to believe they're good. So naturally, we start to feel these negative feelings. And guess what? We deny ourselves of actually feeling them. Or we tell ourselves like, why can't you just not? Or like, why can't you just stop? It almost makes you hate it more, the thing, the place, the situation, because you're living in this version of yourself that's actively combating the reality of what you are. So not only do you kind of hate this person, but now you kind of hate yourself because it's like, get the fuck out of my head. Why are you living with me? I don't even want you here. I don't even know how you got here. And I don't know why I can't let you go. And it goes beyond just hating on something because maybe it's interesting to talk about, or maybe it's something that deserves the energy of a conversation. There are things that are worth talking about when they're negative, but it's that moment when you get back home and you're alone with yourself and it's time to decompress or it's time to relax, it's time to take that shower. and you're thinking about something or a person or a situation that you fucking can't stand that you wish was different. So let's start there, right? Instead of like invalidating the fact that one, we can be pretty fucking hateful. Two, that we have the capacity to really not like things. Three, that we can ruminate on these things and lose total mental control over what we're actually thinking. And we can just overindulge in these thoughts like they're fucking Frito chips. Let's give ourselves the space to acknowledge that we can be negative. And you know what? Sometimes it's justified to be a little negative, but not every situation calls for it, right? So that moment when you are living in a moment where you are desperately trying to find peace, have some self-compassion. Like, hey, you know what? This feeling is actually justifiable. Anybody who wants that for that person, or anybody who experienced that moment, or anyone who's in that situation would have this angry reaction. They would live in a level of anger that you're experiencing, and that's fucking normal. When normalcy starts to get lost is when you start to enter the zone of destruction. And that's when you're carrying hatred and acting out in hatred in ways that aren't beneficial to the situation, aren't serving you, and aren't reflective of the situation that's in front of you, right? Like you're disproportionately reacting. You have to have a level of awareness of when you're behaving this way so that you can be like, hey, you know what? I may feel this way right now. That may be true, but that's not needed here. That's not necessary for what I'm doing and where I'm going right now. And then you shelf it. You're like, yeah, you know what? That's true. That is very fucking irritating. And anybody would be annoyed or bothered. And you have to remind yourself, like, you know what? This is very real. None of this is something that you're making up. But what you are dealing with right now is a situation that calls for you to be calm, or a situation that calls for you to rest, or to focus on the fact that like maybe you have to go get your groceries and go get your immediate needs met. And you're not going to be able to do that if you're stewing over a person, place, or thing that's pissing you off. Something that's not even actively happening around you in the moment. That's what makes living with hate so heavy, that it can take you away from being present in the moment and living your life. It can take you away from the things that you actually enjoy and the things that you actually have to do that make you a happier person or that make you feel more fulfilled. It makes you unfulfilled. So when you're having that, please get the fuck out of my head moment, why am I even thinking about you type of thoughts? You have to ask yourself, can you actually do something about the thing, person, place, or situation that you fucking hate? If the answer is no, we need to accept that. We need to accept that this is beyond our control and we are ruminating over a situation that we have no power over. Let it go. Another thing you need to ask yourself, what does this hatred feel like? For me, I'm like, my chest is pumping. My heart is racing at a million miles. Sometimes I feel tension. Sometimes I'm neglecting myself because I'm just sitting there stewing. I'm not giving myself water. I'm not eating. I'm not even like going to the gym, right? Like I'm not even doing what I actually need to do with the energy inside of my body. But it just feels like I want to defend myself. It feels like I want to protect myself. And okay, now what's next? What are you going to do with those feelings? I'm going to think about what it is exactly about this that makes my heart race or that has me feeling defensive. It's important to me that I can pinpoint a physical feeling, maybe a thought, a memory that brought me to that physical feeling. And then to identify the potential fear or the threat that my brain is ruminating on. So much of this can be ceased just by me having a solution, right? And so much of my solutions are just boundaries. Boundaries or just deciding to focus on the immediate priority in front of me, which helps me gradually forget about the hatred and anger that I'm living in. At the risk of exposing myself here, I get really upset when I have friendships with people who only want to be my party friends. Like, I want my friendships to be so tight that I can tell you what my credit score is and how much money I have in my bank account. If you don't want to know about my problems, my situations, or my inner workings, like, if our minds can't meet, it's going to be a very frustrating experience for you to constantly invite me around you, because I'm not going to understand why you would want me around you if you don't want to, like, hear about my brain or my thoughts or my things. So, like, I find myself getting very irritated and having to be like, you know what? I can't expect this person to be any more for me. Like whether it's an emotional thing, maybe they just like me for like superficial reasons. To me, it's about setting boundaries with people who have loved me and realizing that I can't make them want the level and depth of friendship that I want for them to have with me. And that's okay. Eventually, you just have to accept that it's okay. Like, if they don't want that with you, that's fine. But I'm not going to live in the anger of trying to make that friendship work. I'm just going to start saying no to plans, and I'm just going to accept the fact that that's who they are. And I know that I can't expect anything more out of them. So I'm going to set boundaries to how much time I let them have from me. Because after a certain amount of time, it becomes very unfulfilling to be around them. But let's move on to another category. What if this is someone that actually hates you? What if you're put in a position where you have to hate someone because they hate you and they won't let you forget how much they hate you? So now they live in your mind because they are a threat to your well-being and sense of comfort, because on some level, their hatred is unignorable and you are forced to deal with it. At a certain point, you have to ask yourself if you're actually being harassed. And if that's the case, harassment is illegal. I've been put in situations where I had to directly call out the people who were harassing me because the police wouldn't do anything. And I had to take it into my own hands, right? Like, eventually, like, you can't be quiet. So what did I do? I actually let their employers know that they were harassing me. And guess what, bitch? It fucking stopped. Another time, I had to straight up call them out online. I had to make a whole ass reply, tell my side of the story to get them to fucking stop, to the point where they blocked me. Like, some people will go on and on and on until you defend yourself, which is so fucked ass up. And that's not a situation you ever want to be in. But you have to do these things to get these people to stop. So many people who do this only do it because they don't think you're going to say something and they haven't been checked and they've never had anybody come for them. That's why you have to do it, because not only are you going to come for them, but you're going to make them regret it. And just to be clear, I'm not talking about commentary or critique channels, which thankfully I have not been the heavy subject of outside of the incel community, but I'm talking about people who were sharing my first name, sharing my last name, putting me in a position to like get doxxed. They also were coordinating their online communities towards mine to like disrupt my live stream. They were making me the target very actively when I wasn't interacting with them and I wasn't like seeking them out and I wasn't even making content about them. Like, this was back in Twitch in like 2019. Thank God I haven't experienced this after 2020, knock on wood. But that was something that happened where I felt like I was just minding my business every day, just trying to live my life. And I was constantly reminded about the fact that somebody hated me, to where I inadvertently had to carry this hatred back and I had to live with that hatred back. And that was almost worse than them attacking me and doing all these other things. Like, those were just other symptoms. The main thing in my head was like, ew, I don't even want to think about their face, but like, I'm so acutely aware of who was doing this. And now they live in my head rent free because I have to like look out for them or look over my shoulder thinking about their existence and how are they going to try to attack me today. Obviously, people are free to say and think whatever they want about us, and they're free to go ahead and have their own conversations. It was the fact that like it became such a danger to my actual day-to-day life that it wasn't just about the fact that these people didn't fuck with me. It's that they were actively going out of their way to try to harm me. But moving on, let's talk about a different form of hate. Have you ever hated someone because they weren't living up to their full potential, but they were like always around you and very much admired your potential and even like wanted you to rub off on them, but they weren't trying to make that happen for themselves? The problem that I have with the person who doesn't live up to their potential is that there is a brand of them who actively works against yours. They acknowledge all the things that you do, but they don't actually celebrate it. Like, for me, I know that I'm a person who is objectively better off with therapy and with self-reflection. I knew somebody who completely did not believe in either of the two, outright told me they don't believe in therapy. Mind you, there's multiple forms of therapy, right? Like, it's not just talk therapy, but they would always come to me for therapy. All the therapy that I was taking in and handing back to them was something that they actively enjoyed about our friendship. But given the opportunity to talk to me about pursuing therapy or their thoughts on therapy, knowing very well that I consumed it and engaged with it, they would let me know that they don't believe in it and that they don't need that. It's the contradictory nature of enjoying the benefits of all that you are as a person who works on themselves, wanting the fruits of that and working against you. Like, they have the opportunity to do what you do or to supplement their lives in a way that you're doing it, but they don't do that. They go through you. So they will tell you that you do too much. If you have to spend every day around this person and you have to show up around them, Maybe there's a way that you like to show up. Maybe you like doing your hair, your makeup, and wearing a certain outfit. They will feel weird around you because you do that. They will tell you actively that you shouldn't be doing all of that, that you don't need to do all that. They'll make some type of remarks that make it feel like, oh, what you're doing is very unnecessary. Come to find out that it's just because, unlike you, they haven't taken the time to watch the YouTube tutorials or talk to a professional stylist about how to do their hair and makeup. And then when you spend time with them one-on-one and it's like, hey, let's get up, let's go out for a night, they want you to meet them significantly earlier before the meetup time so that you can do their hair and makeup. Because all the things that they say are unnecessary and that they refuse to learn, they just want you to do it for them with your materials and your talents and, you know, the years that you put into it. And even though you are literally there and you can teach them, they won't do it with you. They just want you to do it for them. These people can be draining and they can also put you down and make you feel like the things that you do and that you are invaluable until it comes time to benefit them. That is my problem with the potential people. If you let them know that maybe you have a 6 to 9 before your 9 to 5, or maybe you have a 5 to 9 after your 9 to 5, they'll tell you how they could never do that and how that's like very unrealistic, or that you just live a life that they can't relate to. Instead of being like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Like, how do you get the motivation to do that? Like, they're not curious. They automatically compare themselves to you and then they try to shut it down. They don't say anything that indicates curiosity. They make comments that indicate judgment. And that's where the negativity is. And the thing is, you guys, you only need one person like this to irritate the living fuck out of you on your downtime. You don't have to go far. You don't have to have 10 of them. You can accumulate a lot of these in your life. They are very attracted to people who live up to their potential. All right, so now that we know who this is, how are we gonna handle who they are and why they piss us off? Like, what are we gonna start telling ourselves? Well, first, you have to accept the fact that they're never, if ever, rarely going to contribute back to your potential. Okay, so being with them is draining. That's the physical feeling. It's that being with them never feeds back into your energy. Then there's the mental component of like, when you're around this person, you don't learn. You do so much teaching, or you do so much begging, hoping that they're going to teach themselves, or like you want them to learn from you. So the physical feeling is frustration. The physical feeling is exhaustion. There might even become a level of defensiveness if you realize that this person has detracted from your life or your mental health because you've been pouring into theirs. And then there's the feeling of, what would happen if I put all this energy back into me? That's what it is. It's protecting ourselves. It's protecting ourselves and only surrounding ourselves with people who nourish us. So we're going to start telling ourselves that we do not make time our priority for this person. And right away, just the thought, knowing that you're not going to segment any time for them, that you're not going to make any of your weekends free for them, you're not going to take your downtime to prioritize them. Right away, you feel less anger because, all right, they can't demand any piece of you. They can't ask you to be there for this time or this thing because you're going to start saying no. Now that you know that you're not going to give them any of your recreational time or any of your therapy time, you're now going to tell yourself that you will only give them time under a very particular set of circumstances. And if they try to veer from X to Y, you're going to go and give them like a shutdown response, or you're going to give them something that shuts them down before they can even get started. So much of that is just being like, I don't know. It's just not having the answers around them. It's also just not having a thought or an opinion and realizing whenever there's an opportunity to educate, you just sit back and you just let them figure it out on their own. You ask them, hey, what are you going to do about that since you feel so negative? What are you going to do about that since you don't want to get therapy for it? What are you planning on doing? You stop empathizing for this person on the level where you think that they are like you and that you think that they have the same motivations as you. So where in the past you would have tried to fix them, or you would have tried to bring them up to you and your level and your journey and take them on for the ride, now you're going, hey, I see that you're in that situation and it's bothering you. I'm sorry that that's what you're experiencing. How are you planning on getting out of that? Oh, I see that you feel that way about your hair and makeup before you go out at night. Are you planning on investing in anything? Who are you watching on YouTube? Who do you follow? Like, once you start putting them in a position to find their own solution, not only will they be bored of you, but they'll be a little irritated. They'll start to wean back. They'll realize that they can't lean on you for those things. And look, it's not about making them hate you, but it's about not trying to make this person be anything that they don't want to be, that they don't want to do for themselves in a way that drains you. I would also recommend setting some physical distance and some mental distance. if you don't have to talk to this person about your personal life, if you don't have to talk to this person about what they did on the weekend, if you don't need to have those very in-depth, almost personal conversations that end up in these conversations of betterment or like opportunities where they invite you around them so that they can siphon off you, start weaning it all the way back. And I'm telling you, like, within 2 to 3 days of doing this, you're already going to have your peace back. You're already going to be more focused on you because you're not thinking about how to rise them up. I'm always mind blown when I get my time and my day back because I decided, like, no, I'm not going to subject myself to conversations and outings and opportunities to coach someone who doesn't even want it. So yeah, moving on to the next brand of person that ends up mentally consuming us with hate against our will. We just have to let it go. Our day-to-day lives and what's immediately in front of us is all that matters. So if this person is not around you, if that situation is not in front of you, if it's not going to happen in the next 1 minute, you do not need to spend a single second plotting and planning and having anxious rumination about how you're going to handle it or deal with it. You only need to come to a contractual agreement with yourself one time about a very specific set of scenarios that you're not going to engage in any longer by, you know, creating these boundaries. And then you're done. Then decide to move on and focus on the next thing that's immediately in front of you that demands your priority. Don't think about this person, this place, this thing, this circumstance, and let it consume you because you're trying to find the solution or you're trying to find the way to actively combat it because you're dealing with it at full frontal exposure. Create boundaries, create distance, and sometimes you have to stand up for yourself. The pain of not standing up for yourself and not doing all of the above has to outweigh the pain of actually dealing with them. And when you think about how much money and time and mental health and peace and euphoria that you are not getting in your life because you spend it thinking about how much you hate this person or how you have to deal with them or, you know, that situation, that place, that thing that you can't even control. When you finally get to that place where you go back to being in control of the things that are actually in front of you, you can live in the moment. You can appreciate the moment. The months and the weeks don't fly by as fast because they're not disappearing into this escapism of dissociation of potential threats in the near future, which are those things that are beyond your control that make you so irritated or frustrated. Call this anger management, call this hate management. I also call it peace protection. I hope that today's podcast episode inspires you to not live in the constant thoughts of negativity, but to also embrace a little bit of the fact that you can be hateful and that all you need to do is just learn how to live alongside it, not let it consume you. So that is the end of today's podcast episode. Please let me know if you guys have any other thoughts or things that you would like me to talk about in relevance to this topic, or if you just want me to talk about something else altogether. FleeksyFeedback@gmail.com is always taking requests. You guys can find me on every social media platform under Fleeksy, and I do upload these videos to YouTube so that you guys can comment on them directly. Leave me 5 stars as it's always appreciated, preferably, and I will see the rest of the squirrels later. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. Bye.